Kix 106.5.
Hello?
Can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear.
Give me a thumbs up, thumbs down.
I can hear you loud and clear.
You can hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear you.
Well, yeah, why don't you come in here? Just come on in here, Jessica. We gonna start like that today, baby. Jess's board just went down. Jess is in a different studio than Charlotte and I. And like 3 minutes ago, she's like, wait, my board just went down. So we're like, all right, well, there's that. Man, I don't wanna be the bearer of bad news, but I looked at the weather this week and it is like poo-poo-pa-choo, man. Like it's literally just all, it's like all rain, Monday through Friday. The weekend's gonna be nice to us. Let's be positive. Like literally next weekend, beautiful. This week, Monday through Friday, rain, 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 rain. So if you love rain, that's the good news. If you don't like rain, well, it's going to be a rainy one. Totally forgot it was Cinco de Mayo today.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a bummer that it falls on a Monday?
I don't feel like, you know, any excuse to celebrate anything.
I guess it's true.
You know what I mean?
Gives you reason to wake up and look forward to Monday, I guess.
Yeah.
How was the weekend?
It was so awesome. I'm actually really thankful that the weather was like perfect
in
Annapolis.
It was nice, yeah.
I think I was a little nervous because it kept looking like it was going to be like raining off and on or whatever. But like the weather was gorgeous. It was so much fun. We walked through and like went to all of our old spots that we took pictures in for our engagement photos, which was really cool. Yeah. And
Jess just celebrated her 1 year wedding anniversary, by the way, this weekend. So that was a big weekend for her.
Yeah, we did like a little staycation in Annapolis. And for some reason, we hadn't even been there since we took our engagement photos. It was like forever. And yeah, it was awesome.
Just seeing the pictures, like it was weird because I think the last time I've even seen pictures of Annapolis was when you guys were there. And so I was like, even for me, it was like a time warp. It was like, wait, it's been a year since like you guys were even there to do your photos. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Charlotte, did you have a good weekend?
Oh my gosh, I had such a good weekend. Yeah. It was so restful. Me and my dad cooked together. We made cashew chicken stir fry
and it was
banging. Let's see, what else did I do? Hung out with my friend. It was a great weekend.
Love
How was
that.
Yours?
Weekend was good. It was a pretty restful, kind of a chill weekend.
Yeah, it's always nice.
Hung out with the girlies over at the yoga studio. I feel like I've finally been accepted as one of the yoga girls.
Yes.
Like,
that's
it takes
fun.
A while. As a guy, it takes a while. It's like a badge of honor.
Yeah.
When you can fully be accepted as one of the girls at the yoga studio, but they don't think you're just there to be a creep, you know?
100%.
And so, like, when you earn that badge of honor and, like, you're just fully accepted over there, like, it's a great day. And I feel like this weekend, I finally, like, got that badge of honor.
I think you getting the pedicure with one of them
yeah,
the other day, like,
yeah,
sealed the
I did.
Deal. Like,
yeah.
That was the moment.
I went with one of them to get a pedicure on Friday, and I was like,
that's nice.
I feel like they finally get me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think they finally understand, like what
the vibe,
what I'm here for. So it's totally cool.
Now, these are the top three trending stories in the city.
The Baltimore top three with Jess. Number three.
The Edgar Allan Poe House and Museum just got a $150,000 boost thanks to Wells Fargo helping bring new life to the historic site where Poe once lived and wrote some of his most iconic work. So the donation is going to kick off a major renovation plan. 17,000 square feet of upgrades. We're talking about new exhibits, a new auditorium, a literary garden, just a bunch of new room for more Poe-inspired programming. The Poe House has been a Baltimore landmark since 1832, and now the support from Poe Baltimore and the city's housing authority, the historic site is set for some major long-awaited transformation.
Number two.
Heads up, if you've got student loans in default, collections are officially back on. So as of today, the U.S. Department of Education has resumed collections on defaulted federal student loans, ending a pause that has been in place since March 2020 during COVID. So this change impacts over 5 million borrowers currently in default. If you have missed payments for 270 days or more, you are considered in default, and now the government can take action. But there are options. You can explore loan consolidation, income-driven repayments. But just FYI, just warning now, now is the time to check on your loan status, because if you set it to default and you really haven't logged in or checked back where your current status is at, you don't want to fall into the stuff that might happen, like tax fund re-seizures and all that kind of stuff.
How are you feeling about all that?
Mine, well, this, when they gave the warning a little while ago, if you wanted to start back your payments, I went back in and just made them like on automatic to like the minimum just so I wouldn't forget about it.
Because that's responsible.
Well, because that's the thing though. I went being in default forever. You're just like, okay, I can't afford to do this right now. I'm not going to worry about it right now. It's fine.
Yeah.
And like, when was the last time anyone logged into Nelnet? Right. I don't know. I can't even tell you my password now.
That's pretty responsible.
Take the time to go find your password. Where the loan's getting taken out of.
I wouldn't let it just sit there. That's smart.
Yeah.
Number one.
Beyonce has been hit with a cease and desist letter from the owner of the Sphere in Las Vegas. So Beyonce uses footage in her Cowboy Carter show during interludes that's featuring her picking up what looks a lot like the Sphere, according to the venue's owner, at least. So she basically is like walking through the city, leans over and picks it up. Now, fans actually thought this was some sort of Easter egg saying that Beyonce might be ending her tour with a Sphere residency. But the cease and desist letter is asking Beyonce to stop using footage because they're saying that she was using it without permission. Beyonce was rumored actually to have been in negotiations to perform at the Sphere at one point, but she's actually bringing the Cowboy Carter tour to Allegiant Stadium in Vegas at the end of July.
I mean,
like, relax here.
It's free promo. I don't get that at all.
I don't know why.
You own the concept of spheres now? Yeah, all spheres?
That's true.
You got to... All spheres.
Like,
now you can. No one else can use a spear.
What?
I mean, I get you got to protect it, right? But
do you though? Why?
But yeah. It's Beyonce.
But what about all the images of artists like doing things like walking through like, I don't know, like New York City.
That's
or
true.
Like doing like random things of like historical or like pop culture landmarks or something like that.
I don't know. The whole sphere thing has been such a weird issue, like just how long it's been delayed, and then it seems like it's been under so much controversy and scrutiny since it's even been a thing.
They were also saying like, we don't want to mislead fans, maybe like thinking into your like coming here, because that's automatically what fans were like, oh my god, wait, is she doing a residency?
I mean, I it feels like if I was the Sphere, I would just be quiet.
It's Beyonce.
They might want the good press, but apparently not in this situation, right?
This is Jess, and that's your top three brought to you by Goal Vision. Good morning.
I want you to think of the worst thing that a road rager could possibly do. Like, yell at you, crash into your car.
Getting out of the car.
Getting out of the car would be really, really bad. This might be the worst. This might be the worst possible thing. And of course, it happened in Pennsylvania. Like, I don't even know how this is possible. I don't even know how this is physically possible to do. And so many of you guys tagged us in this weekend. Thank you for your service. Welcome to PA So Cray Cray, a segment that we've created because it cannot go without pointing out how much weirder things are in Pennsylvania than they are here in Maryland. What is this, Jess?
We have created a segment for our neighbors in PA, and it's like no beef. Like, there's no beef with us in PA. Just a lot of weird, random, maybe like unexpected things tend to happen there. So we just gather around and chat about it.
Weird, man. All right. This is Prospect Park, right outside of Philly. Last week, there was a woman that was really upset. I don't know what the actual incident was that went down originally, but something happened. And it was in a residential area, too. It wasn't even like out somewhere on a highway. This is somewhere you can see a ton of houses around.
Oh, no.
Just two lanes. This is just nothing wide open. Just small neighborhood area, y'all. So this woman stopped. She jumped out of her car. She ran over to the other car. She pooped on her hood. She literally, this is 2 weeks in a row now, we're talking about defecation.
How
I understand
did she
that.
Just do that on demand? That's crazy. That's what has me a little curious. That's like, so are you saying like you had to go and you were holding it and this just so happened to like occur? Or is that a talent that you have that she was just like, all right, immediately I'm going to do this on this vehicle?
That's literally the part I don't understand either. Like, are you ever just holding it that bad? Because like,
she could have
physiologically.
She could have been like, she could have possibly like needed to go, and then she got so upset that she was like, "Well, this is it." Maybe she didn't intend to poop on the car. Maybe she was like, "I have to go. I can't hold it anymore." And then this was just the perfect opportunity.
But like,
and then she did it.
Okay, no, I'm going to tell you this. There is a video of this instance.
No,
okay?
There of her is, actually yes, doing
yes,
it.
Yes, there is a video of this. I have a copy of this. I'm not going to post it on our Instagram
don't do it
because
on the story. That's so gross.
those that aren't listening to the story will have no idea what's happening. Imagine it's Monday morning.
We censor it.
No,
that's so Charlotte. Gross.
People need to know.
If it was just Charlotte and I guarantee that story would be posted. Jess is our saving grace.
Don't do it.
The video is out there. I will play the audio of this to give you an idea of what's happening. Yeah, if you want to DM us, we'll send you the link. How about that? Here's a little of the audio of just the whole pooping altercation going down, though.
Was the person in the car as she was pooping on the car?
She literally got out of her car, walked around, was just like squatted down on the front and pooped.
I wish we knew what happened.
I don't know.
I'm not saying anyone should ever do that, but I really wish we knew what happened.
Listen.
And the aim was astounding.
Oh my God.
If you want to see this video, you can DM us. We're at Kramer and Jess.
Ew.
Kramer and Jess, and we'll.
Why was anyone doing a video?
Kramer and Jess. It's Kramer with a K. I know. Somebody just grabbed their phone, and the whole thing is just.
That's gross.
Thank you to so many of you that DM'd us about this. If you ever see crazy Pennsylvania news, always send it to us because we want to be the first ones to break it to everybody. And it's why we have this segment. It's called PA. Jess is so shook right now.
It's so gross.
It's called PA So Cray Cray. Have you ever kicked like a really bad habit and you're so proud of yourself and you're like, I'll never do that again, only to slip? It's like, God, it's just the worst feeling, man. I'm beating myself up this morning. I said I would never go back on dating apps ever again, and I downloaded one this weekend. I was on there for about 3 minutes, and I deleted it all
Which
over
one?
Again. I downloaded the League again.
Not the League. Yes. What is
the League?
Oh, Jess, let me tell you what the League is.
Okay.
What is the League?
Is for pretentious people. You have to like get accepted onto there and prove that you're like, it's almost like Raya, but
not famous,
but not for entertainment. Like
it's for professionals.
So it's Raya, but not famous people. And you guys wish you were famous.
But you probably could get on Raya.
I'll tell you why I like the League. So League,
the fact that it's called the League makes me hate it.
Exactly.
I'll tell you why I liked it. Okay. Why I liked it in the past is because it only gives you 3 options every day. And so you just go through.
It's not endless
amounts of people.
That's actually interesting.
That's kind of nice.
I could only sit there. What I found with like Bumble and things like that was you'd sit there all day, it'd be countless amounts of people, and like I would just sit there for like 30 minutes.
That's like any other social media app, really.
They try to keep you addicted.
Yeah, sucked into it. Mm-hmm. So with the League, I was like 3 options. I'll go on there every day. I could like actually focus and like read profiles. It wasn't just swipe.
Wait, so it would only give you 3 options?
Right. Everyone on there gets 3 options a day.
They give you.
They give you 3 options to choose. Do you want to do
You not. Only get 3 swipe yeses, yeah. Or you only get to see three people
a day.
Oh.
Like even if you say no to all of them.
It's 3 options a day. So that's what I liked about it. So I downloaded it. I had like my 3 options. I instantly deleted it because I was like,
Like your options?
I just didn't want to get back into the lifestyle of dating apps.
Okay.
I deleted dating apps about 2 years ago because I just didn't like the person I was when I was living the dating app life because I just felt like
it makes you feel like you're shopping on Amazon.
I really felt really shallow doing it. Yeah. And I really got nowhere doing it. I did it for about 4 years and I realized it was window shopping.
There's also no shade, no tea, because obviously that has worked for a lot of people, like a lot of successful relationships and successful marriages and everything like that. But I feel like when you get addicted to it and sucked in the wrong way, then it starts to feel emotionless.
It does. Yeah. And I got really jaded and like I felt like I couldn't talk to people in real life anymore. And so I told myself 2 years ago, I said, you know what? I can do this in real life. I know that I can. I can meet somebody in person and I'm going to do this. Okay. That was 2 years ago. Now, to be fair, we have to throw the assault into the timeline, right? So for about a year and some change, obviously I was dealing with the assault, right? But I got to be honest, I'm not really having luck in real life, and I'm really not. So I was like, all right, maybe that's not true. Maybe you really can't meet somebody in real life and like make it happen. Or maybe I personally can't make that happen because maybe you actually do in 2025 have to meet somebody online, because I don't know that it is possible. Because most people at my age of almost 42, like everybody just seems to be married. When I do meet somebody, it's like, oh, they're married. Oh, they're, you know, oh, they just got divorced and they have all this baggage. No one really does want to just meet and just they're ready to actually be in a relationship. Maybe the only way to possibly do this is to be on a dating app. So I did download it. And I instantly deleted it because I was like, I just don't want to do it. I slipped. I had a moment of weakness and I hate myself for doing that. But here's the question. For those that actually have met somebody in the last couple of years, was it a dating app? Like it had to be on a dating app, right? Mm-hmm. Like how did you not? If it wasn't on a dating app, how did you meet somebody? Because I don't know how people are meeting people in real life anymore. Like is it actually possible to do? Because mm-hmm. I don't think I even know many stories of how people did that. Post-pandemic.
Do you just not want to be on dating apps ever again?
Never.
Just because never. You don't like what it made you?
I don't like what it did. To me.
Okay.
I think it was just, it made me a really bad version of myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fair. I feel like we can't be having this conversation and being like, it doesn't work for anyone.
No,
right?
And
I think that's a fair thing to say where it's like, I think it's good and it's healthy that you can recognize that it turned you into someone you didn't like, but that doesn't mean it doesn't work for others.
I became super shallow. I wasn't giving people chances for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And some things work for people and some things don't. Yeah. And that's fair to say.
So I just don't know how it's possible. Could I ever meet somebody just in real life? You know what I mean?
Kramer. And Jess.
$1,000 minute.
Mix 106.5.
Yo, let's go. Brand new week. That means $5,000 in free gas up for a chance. You know what I'm trying to say, Jess? How do I word that? 5,000.
A chance to win?
Yeah.
But not 5,000.
Well, like one time, like five $1,000 chances this
week. Okay.
So like $5,000 total in this week, which starts
but only one person wins
right now.
So it's not
starts right now.
If you'd like
five
to play,
chances
you can play.
Of $1,000,
we do this every day.
$5,000 in 1 week span,
but you only win 1,000.
It starts right now. 5,001 chances starts right
We're
now.
We're gonna get an email of someone being like, Kramer said 5,000, not 1,000.
Five chances at $1,000 this week.
There you go. That's better.
Woo.
That sounds and feels
totaling
legal.
$5,000.
No.
This week.
But no, though, because if you win, you only get $1,000. Take out the $5,000.
Right.
Totally. Take it out.
You get the point. Let's go to caller number 10 and play. Hi, who's this? Hi.
Oh, my God. Hi, Sharon.
Oh my God. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, I think.
Sharon, what's wrong? What's going
happy
on?
Happy Monday. We're happy you're here.
Woo-hoo.
Are you good? Sharon, are you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
It's still early.
You ready to go for this?
I'm going to try.
All right. Well, that's the best you can do.
You got this.
Yeah. Well, you know this game? Have you played before?
Never.
Never. Well, here you go.
I've been listening, but I've never played.
Well, let's explain the rules to you here. Jessica, how do we do this?
If you can answer 7 trivia questions in 60 seconds, you win $1,000 in free dash and gas. But if you get one wrong, mispronounce one, or take longer than 60 seconds, you are out. Now, remember, you can actually pass on the ones you don't know. You just got to say pass, and then we'll go back to them only if there's time at the end. Sharon, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Your chance at $1,000 in dash and gas starts...
Question number one, what is the antonym for take?
For take?
Yes. Or you can pass.
I don't know.
Oh, do you want to pass?
Yeah, pass.
Okay.
All right. Question number two, what do you call a group of dolphins?
Herd.
It's not a herd, unfortunately. It's not a herd. But hey, you tried. You know what? Come on. First timer,
good
y'all.
Good job, Sharon.
First timer.
Ah, yay.
You know what I mean? It takes a lot of guts to call this number and to get on here and the questions. Like, it's like intimidating, so we totally understand. Listen, it's all good.
It's a Monday.
It's all good.
We're happy that you got through. This is fun.
I'm excited, too.
Yeah. Aww. Let's keep playing for fun. Hey, no, hang on. Let's keep playing for fun. Let's see how we would have done here, okay, Jessica?
Yeah, so back to question number one. What is the antonym for take? That answer is give.
Yeah, give.
Question number two, what do you call a group of dolphins? That answer is pod.
It's a pod.
So let's see how you'd have done the rest of the round. Question number three, what toy features 54 colored squares and challenges you to align all colors by twisting and turning its segments?
What is that called? Oh, I know what it is.
You know that. You know, you twist
Rubik's
it.
Rubik's Cube.
It's a Rubik's Cube.
Huh? Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
Question number four. A movie ticket costs $14.50. If you buy 3 tickets, how much do you pay?
$14.50 times 3 is...
$43.50.
There you go.
Yeah,
yes, ma'am.
Question number five. What actor starred as Jason Bourne in The Bourne Identity?
Do you remember that movie?
Matt Damon.
It's a pass.
Question number six. What is the company Coppertone known for making?
Tanning lotion.
Yep.
Yeah, suntan lotion, sun care products. And question number seven, what do you call a rock that comes from space and lands on Earth?
Meteor.
Yep, yes, meteorite. Yeah, meteorite. Yep, that's it. There you go. Sure, that's how it's done. You had to get your first round beneath. That's what we say. You know, you had
now
you
know what it's like.
Get one done.
I'll be back.
Yeah, you should. Next time, you're going to feel a lot better about it. You're going to understand how this is done. So we appreciate you for playing. Tomorrow, we'll come back. Seven more trivia questions worth $1,000 worth of free gas. Same time, okay?
Thank you.
Have a good day, Sharon, and make sure to head to Dashen for their top-tier performance gas. Top-tier certified means Dashen fuels meets performance standards set by some of the leading auto brands. Fill up at Dashen.
So Baltimore's version of Firefest went down this weekend. You may not have heard this story. This actually came compliments of our producer, Charlotte. I didn't hear anything about this. This was like supposed to be a huge book festival. Is this what this was?
Yeah, like a convention. It was supposed to be... I'm not sure if it was for fantasy authors, I think I heard, or just in general, but it was at the Baltimore Convention Center. It was 2 days. It was Friday and Saturday, and it was supposed to be massive.
It was 2 days.
Yes.
Did all 2 days go down, or did they actually cut it short?
I'm not sure. It seems like they did, but okay. I don't know how attended the second day was once people realized. So, as soon as I saw the video, I was like, wait, I think that's the same room where I got my COVID vaccine a couple years ago.
Oh, my God.
They opened up the convention center and like promoted it to these authors. Like, this is going to be a massive, massive convention. You should pay all this money. Come be a part of it. We're going to bring in all these attendees. They're going to come buy your books.
Oh, my God. What if they, like, traveled across the country?
And a lot of people did. Uh-huh. A lot of people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to be a part of this. This is just one TikTok video that you may see today talking about this Baltimore Book Festival that was this weekend. Listen to this.
The event was called A Million Lives. It was in the making for about a year and a half, but it looks like it was thrown together in 45 minutes. The authors paid to be able to sell their books at this event, but really there were more authors than there were participants, and everyone lost money.
I lost nearly $3,000 on this trip.
I am now out about $2,000.
I planned my pregnancy around this event like a clown.
No. The person who put this together is also an author. The company she did this under, Archer Events, she deleted most of their socials. And this is the only apology she's given.
Hi, everybody. I am wanting to issue a formal apology. I do understand that the ball tonight was not set up to standards. There were a lot of issues with getting set up, and it was not set up well. I want to apologize. If you would like a refund, please contact me, and I will issue a refund immediately. Thank you.
So this is kind of given Firefest. It's kind of given that Willy Wonka.
Yes, but just leave that one a decor.
But just to give a visual, like the room, it's like an empty room. There's like maybe three or four long tables set in kind of like a square. They had like random. I don't know if it was like a book or a pamphlet like on the tables. Like it's just bare. There's like nothing
and this
in
was
the room.
A black tie event. Like people showed up in ball gowns.
Yes. Yeah.
There
weren't even
tablecloths. I don't think.
God. No. They weren't. It was just like it was just straight up just like table and like maybe a few books on top and like that was it.
And one of the authors said that she was there to do a panel and there weren't even chairs for them.
No.
So like, what do we do? Because I feel like we're coming into an age where we're hearing more and more stories like. This just happens to be close to home, but we're seeing things like Firefest and we're seeing things like the Willy Wonka experience where we as the consumer are getting promoted these really big experiences only to get let down. Like how can we protect ourselves from situations like this? Or do we just have to assume that every now and then we're going to get burned because people can create these really big marketing experiences. I'm sure this thing was promoted as this really big book extravaganza. And if I'm an author trying to get my book out there, how else would I know to not come to this? You know what I mean?
This was even on the Baltimore Sun's like official calendar. Like I feel bad for the people who got because I don't think that they were being silly or anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, how could you know any different? I mean, just sometimes are things like this just going to happen? And because of AI and we can create all these awesome images and marketing just looks and sounds really good. I mean, people that went to the very first Firefest, how were they supposed to know any different? Because it looked because of these influencers, they made it look really awesome. I mean, this book that was a million lives. I mean, it sounds really great if you're an author. How do you know nowadays? You know,
unfortunately, I don't think you do know. And I think when it comes to trying to go to things for the first time. And like that, I think it's a crappy thing because you don't want to discourage anyone from going to an event of like the first ever, because mm-hmm. that's not fair to people who are actually putting in a lot of time and effort into creating something new.
Right.
But at the same time, I think because of the state of the world that we live in, when anyone can create anything look like the biggest party ever yeah. from ChatGPT by just typing it in, I think it's something that you just have to keep in mind. I feel
before
so
you write that check,
so
man.
Bad.
I think that's true. If you're going to the first thing ever, it's almost like you're rolling the dice
yeah.
nowadays of like
yeah,
what
you
you're
are.
Gonna get yourself involved in, man. Well there you go. Baltimore's Fyre Fest happened this weekend. Her husband wants her to stop her favorite hobby because he says it's too inappropriate for their marriage. But is it? Let's get into Judge Jess.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Jessica Dutra. This is Judge Jess.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the beginning of your week and another installment of Judge Jess. Man, life's hard. Especially when you're in a disagreement with somebody you care about. And sometimes, you know how these go. Like, you just go round and round and round. And who's right and who's wrong? Sometimes you guys just cannot seem to figure it out. That's where Judge Jess comes in. Now, disclaimer, I think we have to legally say this. Jess is not a real judge, okay?
Like, she doesn't. But I will give you my honest opinion.
Yes. And maybe sometimes that's what you need, right? Like, you just cannot seem to solve something. Why don't you call our voicemail, 855-Kramer-Jess. That's a real number. Tell us the dilemma that you're going through with somebody else, and then Jess is really going to give you the honest opinion of like who really is right and who really is wrong in your situation, okay?
Hi, this is Emma from Catonsville, and I have a question for Judge Jess. So my husband, he wants me to stop my salsa lessons. I've been doing them for about a month or two, and I really enjoy it. He recently came along and saw what I was doing because he was interested, and he thinks it is just way too sexual. He says dancing like that with a stranger is inappropriate, and he wants me to cut off the classes immediately. I started taking these lessons again after I had my kids to help me get more in shape. Something for me, you know, that I'm not just a mom. But he's adamant that this is not okay for me to be dancing with a single guy or somebody else's husband. He just doesn't feel comfortable with me going off once a week to do this. So I want to make my husband happy, but I also feel like my happiness is also important. Mm-hmm. So Jess, I'm throwing it to you for any advice that I can get in this situation.
Wow. Okay.
This makes me sad.
Husband literally, oof. Husband said, listen, yo, you went, I came, I saw. You went, I came, I saw. And this makes me feel uncomfortable. It's not like he didn't poo-poo the idea without even seeing it. The man came, he saw, he didn't like it, and said, this makes me uncomfortable, please stop.
Ew.
So, like, what, in that situation, is she supposed to stop it? We'll turn to the honorable, not quite Judge Jess Dutra.
What? What is this? Like, Julia Stiles saved the last dance? Let the woman dance! Do not take this from her! When, like, okay, it's not like this is something that she's trying to hide. It's not anything shady. I'm sure she invited him for, like, a little mini, like, recital, you know what I mean? Like, obviously he was there to see her perform. And like she said, it's something for her. It's obviously something that's bringing her joy. And I don't think that's fair. It's like, if you're going to tell her she can't do that, then it's almost like, what about yoga? Like, what about Zumba? Like, what about any sort of fitness classes? Like, what about any of that kind of stuff when everyone is doing something physical? Everybody's sweating. Everyone's in, like, you know, minimal clothing. But, like, that's not what you're there to do. You're there to work out. You're there to, like, for yourself. You know what I mean?
But the fact is, the man said it made him uncomfortable. And I think that, like, you got to take that into account, Judge. Like, let's say that Garage Boy, your husband, came up to you and was like, hey, listen, I got to be honest with you. And obviously, we don't know how this conversation went. I'm just taking the facts that we have in front of us. If your husband came to you, your partner came to you and said, hey, listen, this makes me uncomfortable. Like, don't you have to take that into account and say, okay, like, you're my partner, like, this makes you uncomfortable. So, like, I have to, like, I got to be honest. Like, if my partner was out there bumping and grinding, crotch to crotch.
They're not bumping and grinding.
There's crotch to crotch.
Also,
I guarantee you there's crotch
her,
to crotch.
For her to be like, after they had a kid and she's trying to get back to herself and feel good in her body and all that kind of stuff, like, I just feel like that's such a crappy thing to take away from her. Also, it's not like she's like salsa dancing on the low and like underground. You know what I mean? She clearly invited her husband to come see this performance. Like,
said it makes
we're not talking about drug dealing. We're talking about samba. Like, what is wrong with you?
He said it makes him uncomfortable.
No, let the woman dance. What is this?
So even though it makes him uncomfortable, you don't care about that.
He needs to join the class. Join the class. Take salsa as well, sir.
Wow.
Do not take away the salsa from this woman.
If Garage came to you and said that makes me uncomfortable, said, I don't care.
I'd be like, here's a sign-up sheet. We're going next Tuesday. The class is at 5:30. We will wear matching outfits.
Okay, let's see if she can put her money where her mouth is in this situation, all right? Garage Boy is on hold right now, and let's see if this would actually work in Jess's situation the way she says it would. Like, is that really how it would work in your... Because, you know, Jess gives her advice, but like, would this work in her own life for real? So we actually have Jess's husband on the phone with us, Garage Boy.
What's up?
All right, here's the scenario. Would you be bothered if Jessica all of a sudden wanted to go take salsa lessons and she was... grinding up on.
Oh my God. It's not grinding. He knows what salsa lessons are. It's 2025.
And she was crotch to crotch with another man. Would that bother you, honestly? Or how about this? Let's say it did bother you. Would you expect her to change?
No, ask him the first question. Would it bother him if I wanted to dance? I want to dance for my life.
Okay, would it bother you?
A little bit. But
okay.
I would join the class. That's something that I always want to do.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my God,
good.
We're gonna take salsa classes.
It's not real. He's not really joining. Neither you're taking salsa.
Oh, we're definitely gonna join fun.
Okay, neither of you are doing salsa lessons. Okay.
We're totally gonna do it.
Okay. But let's just say that it did bother you, and like you brought that to her attention. Would you expect her to stop doing the classes, or like what would you? Let's say she really loved to do salsa classes. Okay.
Or would you be like the dad and save the last dance and tell Julia Stiles or she to give up her dancing dreams?
Like, what would be the expectation there if it really bothered you? Like, what would be the outcome here? It bothers you. She loves doing it. Like, what's supposed to happen in this situation?
I think it just depends on. Nah, there's no one better looking than me, so we.
Okay. There's no lie there.
There goes girl.
There's no lie there.
There it goes. Hey, happy anniversary, guy. One full year down with these two right there here, these two lovebirds. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There he goes. The Garage Boy himself. It has been a while since he's been on the show, and he's got a meeting literally in 40 seconds.
Okay, yeah, love you. Bye. Sorry.
Love you. Thanks, guys.
So that's not inappropriate for you to like be rubbing up on other people when you're married, you don't think?
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm just asking the question.
No, ask the real question.
What?
It's salsa dancing classes. Don't say rub it. We're not bumping and grinding. This isn't gently. Like, come on.
I'm just asking the question. That's not inappropriate to you, right?
I do not think if a woman wants to take salsa classes because it's something that she loves to do and it's her hobby and it's something that she's doing to feel better about herself, I don't think that she should stop taking salsa classes.
I don't know how that would make me feel. I honestly don't know how that would make me feel. I'd like to debate a few hobbies. And do these become inappropriate once you're in a relationship? Obviously, when you're single, no big deal. Once you're in a relationship, because it's just as salsa is not a big deal once you're in a relationship.
To me, I see the salsa classes and the salsa lessons as any other sort of like active fitness class. Like I'm thinking that goes in the same category as yoga or Zumba or any sort of like fitness class.
Let's debate a few other hobbies. Are these appropriate once you're in a relationship? Salsa, you said, is okay. Let's go through a couple more. Pole dancing, fine to you? Once you're in a relationship, is that okay? And I'm not talking like dancing on the pole like that, but I'm talking about
like a class you wanted to take pole dancing classes.
Still okay 100% with you?
Absolutely. Okay.
Going out clubbing every weekend without your partner, is that appropriate once you're in a relationship? Obviously, if you're single, no big deal. Once you're in a relationship, is that appropriate hobby?
So I think with that, it all depends on your situation with your partner. Yeah, I think that is situational.
Dude, I couldn't handle that at all. If my partner still wanted to go out all the time, because I don't like to go out. If I was dating somebody, I'm still going to go out all the time. I'm like, well, that's going to be your own separate life, and we're not dating anymore. Can't do that. Solo travel. Is that appropriate, you think, once you're in a relationship, solo travel, going on trips without your partner? Is that appropriate?
I think that's totally fine.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all the time, but I think once, twice a year, I think that's actually pretty healthy to a relationship. I don't think there's any problem with that whatsoever. Being an Instagram influencer doing like sexy content.
What are you talking about?
Is that appropriate once you're in a relationship?
There's so many layers to this question. I think it's coming from like this isn't, I don't want any regulations on like what I'm sharing and what I'm posting. Like, this isn't the FCC. Like, if Garage Boy, if I wanted to post a picture of myself, okay, so we're gonna go on vacation in June, we're gonna go to San Diego, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, let's say I want to post a picture on the beach and like I'm in a bathing suit, and if my husband was like, take that down, I literally be like, oh, I know you're not talking to me.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
So you don't think he should have any say with anything you ever post on your social media?
Well, I know that he would never say that, which is why he's my partner, because like he would never do that. I just think that's so crazy. Like, that is weird to me. Like, just as much as if he wanted to post a picture of himself shirtless or in like some short shorts and he's feeling like his leggies and he's been working hard on them and wants to show them off, I'd be like, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, the person would probably have already been an influencer going into the relationship. So don't be one of those guys that's like, oh, you're hot, I want you. And then once you have her,
so
it's
you're
like,
saying,
oh, no.
If you
don't
come
post
in,
that.
If you come in as an influencer, then you got to expect them to stay an influencer.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
expect
exactly.
them to like stop being a,
and
like some kind of sexy
by this
influencer.
Like, my ex once, I posted a picture and he was like, you've never like shown off like that before. I was like, ew. Like,
scroll. Then
like,
scroll then.
Go away.
All right. We're talking about hobbies. Like, are these inappropriate once you're in a relationship? Is this inappropriate? Last one we'll do. What if you were an artist and you wanted to pose naked for an art class? Inappropriate once you're in a relationship or not? We'll stop there.
Again, situational. If your partner is like comfortable with you doing that, I don't see the issue. Like, how much are you getting paid?
Man.
Like, like, is it worth it? Because the money's going towards our rent.
Okay,
like,
maybe
it's
the rent. Maybe I could see that.
Does anybody have my husband's phone number? Because I don't know it. Y'all, Garage Boy and I just celebrated our first year of marriage yesterday. And I realized that I do not have my husband's phone number memorized.
That's kind of wild, dude.
I don't know why I can't memorize it. Like, in my brain, I have like two phone numbers memorized by heart, and it's my mom's and my dad's, and also my old house phone number that we don't even have anymore that like got canceled years ago.
Jess was just looking it up. We were talking about calling Garage a couple seconds ago. She just goes, hang on 1 second, and literally pulls her phone, and I was like, wait, you don't know your husband's phone number? And you guys have been together for how long now? Like total time together?
Oh, total time, over 4 years.
And you still don't know his phone number by heart?
No, and I know like the vibe of it. I know some of the digits, but I don't know the whole thing.
Like, if you
from beginning to end.
Like, do this, get a piece of paper and just write down what you think his phone number is really quick. And then I want you to actually look up his phone number and see how many digits you got correct. Because I want to see like how close you even are. Like, if you had to get
this
it
is
even.
What I got. Wait.
Well, don't say it out loud.
Well, I won't. But like, you see, I'm like, yes, yes, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Wait, how many question marks are there?
There's four. Four. The last four digits is
like literally
a
no
mystery.
Idea.
I think I got like, I know one of those and one of those, isn't it?
Let's see. In case you're new to the show, I was married for about 10 years, and I've been divorced now for 7 years. And I, to this day, I could recite my ex-wife's phone number right now. I could tell you digit by digit. And I haven't talked to that woman literally in 7 years.
But do you think it was because when you guys got together, did you guys have cell phones already?
Yeah, Jessica, yes, I'm not that old.
No, that's a legitimate question.
I had to call the rotary phone back in the day.
No. That was just a legitimate question because it's like if you had to memorize her phone number to contact her, that's something different.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I had to call her house phone.
Okay, I don't know.
It's literally, like, sometimes you make me feel like a dinosaur and I hate you for
that. I wasn't sure.
Okay, I'm genuinely curious because you're right. We do live in a day and age. I mean, I would say, I don't know your phone number by heart.
No.
I mean, I couldn't even, honestly, I couldn't even start with your phone number.
For the record, I would like to say I'm only missing two of the digits out of the phone number. Like,
are you,
I did.
Though?
Yeah, yeah. I guess these two, they're correct. So I'm only missing two other ones.
Okay, that's not bad.
Overall, but I also don't know if I know it because I just called him. But I will say,
okay.
I will say though, actually,
that's,
I know
true,
this part.
That's true, because she did look at that.
I do
recently.
Know this half. This half was probably by luck. Like half, yes, the last four digits is always like a little gray to me.
Can you tell us how long you've been married and do you know your partner's phone number by heart? Because I'm curious for those of us that are, or for those of you, I should say, that are more recently together, maybe you're like Jess, it can make her feel better and say, I could not tell you my partner's phone number. Like, honestly, like no chance. Like, if you lost your phone, like your phone, you'd be screwed right now.
Yeah.
But maybe for like the older generation, like us elder millennials, Gen X, you guys might, like, if you've been married 20, 30 years, you probably know your partner's phone number by heart. Let's do an informal poll. How long have you been married or just with your partner? And do you know their phone number by heart? Just let us know, okay? Because I'm kind of curious how that's going to fall. Elizabeth, how long have you been with your partner?
We've been together for 15 years.
15. And yes. Do you know your partner's number? Phone number?
That's the only number I know in the whole wide world. funny enough, if I go places, sometimes they ask me to put in my number. I don't know. I mistakenly put his phone number.
Wait, you,
that's how bad it is.
You have a harder time memorizing your own phone number. You know his a lot better than your own.
I know his number better than mine, you know. I don't know why.
That's probably
it's love.
It's probably better, honestly.
It's because it's love.
I need to figure that out. Yeah, it is better.
Do you think it's bad if you don't know it?
Emergency contact is like, don't call me, call him, obviously.
That's kind of what I worry
about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what are the text lines saying? Anybody on the text is like interesting?
This one is actually pretty interesting. So 28 years married. Yes, they know each other's phone numbers. But she goes, my daughter is 24. I know hers by heart, but I don't know my 16-year-old daughter's number by heart.
Interesting. I wonder if it's because back in the day we just had to know numbers, or maybe it was something we were so used to doing because of home phones that, like, it meant more to us back then. I don't know. Let's talk to, this is Mike. Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
What's up?
Okay, you've been with your partner how long?
24 years.
Do you know their number by heart?
I know her number because there's a lot of double digits.
Okay. Do you feel like you wouldn't if it wasn't so easy?
Well, if it wasn't, it'd probably be a little harder to keep up with. But it's so many double digits, you can't forget it.
Okay. So you're saying, like, maybe if it was harder, I wouldn't know it as much? Someone's like, Mike's like, I got an easy partner number. Like, what do you want from me? Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. What's up, Sherry? Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah,
we've been married for 42 years, and I do know my husband's number.
Absolutely.
But that's probably the only one I know.
What do you think
that's
it means,
fair.
Though, that Jess doesn't know her husband's number? Is that a weird sign? Like, should she know this?
No, you know, your younger generation just doesn't remember those numbers like we do.
The brains, it wasn't what they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, when I was your age, you know, I knew a lot of numbers, but now I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that we just put more value on knowing numbers. Like, why do I need to know numbers nowadays?
Or we can be like Marquita. Marquita, she's been married for 5 years. They've been together for 11. I know his number by heart, but he doesn't know mine, so she made him a laminated card with important numbers
okay,
on it.
Now that actually is smart.
That is a good idea, Marquita.
If you lose your phone,
what
are you going to do? You'd be in a lot of trouble, you know?
I need that.
I mean, how would you feel about meeting up with an ex years later, especially if you had just come into a large sum of money and then they were interested in you all of a sudden? It seems weird, right? That's where we are right now. It is time for our Talk Me Out of It update, where we check back in with people from last week on their situations that felt kind of crazy. They even knew they felt crazy getting into them. Jess, where were we last week with Anonymous?
She was considering reconnecting with her ex because she thinks that he might want to get back together. They were in a relationship for 8 years, and he kind of was stringing her along, making her think that they would eventually end up in marriage. And she ultimately gave him an ultimatum, either marry me or this is over, and he chose to walk away. He just so happens to reach out to her 2 years later after she comes up in this big insurance settlement. She just basically has gotten a big amount of money. We don't necessarily know all of the details, but why all of a sudden did he come around and want to reach out to her?
Yeah, did they meet up? Was he interested? Are they going to get back together? We have so many questions. Let me get her back on with us. Hi, Anonymous. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you guys actually meet up this weekend?
Yeah, we did.
You did. And...
Well, I mean, at first it was going really well. We were catching up.
Wait, was it a lunch? Is it a dinner? Like, set the scene. I need to, like, visualize. Was it a park visit? Like, what was the...
it was lunch.
It was lunch, okay.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden he just kept talking about his bad financial situation that he was in. I guess he did like a bad business deal, and I kept trying to steer the conversation away from it, but he just kept going back to money.
Was it like immediately into that, or was there like any kind of flirting or anything, or was it immediately into like, hey,
trauma dumping on you, basically?
Kind of. Honestly, I don't even think he wanted to get back together. I think he just wanted me to offer him money.
Did you bring it up at all, like about your situation and everything that had been going on, or did he even ask?
No, I did not bring it up, and he did not.
But you think, obviously, though, that he knew somehow that you now had this money.
Yeah, he must have. I mean, he kept bringing money up.
He was like fishing, hoping that you were going to be like, maybe I can help you out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Damn. Wait, he never directly asked you for money, though?
No.
Do you think he knew that, like, you were possibly still in love with this guy? Like, he thought that at least you would give him the money. You didn't give him the money, did you?
No, I did not give him money.
For a second.
I am so sorry. How are you feeling now after meeting up with him? Like, how does that feel? I can't even imagine.
I mean, honestly, I'm really glad that I went, because that's what I needed to sort of put him in the rear view.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
Well, that should feel good. I mean, that's, you know, last week I really was hoping that, like, this was not going to be the situation.
But I'm happy that you finally know maybe this is what you needed to, like, stop.
That's true. Because even last week, you know, you were saying, I'm still in love with this guy. And so hopefully maybe this is what you needed to see. Sometimes space plus crappy actions can make you realize that, you know, this actually isn't the person that you need. And maybe forever you'd have been sitting here comparing anybody else to him. But now that you see his true colors years later, you're like, eh, you know, it's not the one for you. So, hey, I'm really sorry that was the situation that went down, but maybe it was for the best.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, thank you again. Thank you for calling us and giving us the update and for the vulnerability and the transparency with the situation.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Make sure you subscribe to get the show daily.
And if you think we've earned it, give us 5 stars.
Hear Kramer and Jess live every morning on Mix 106.5 Baltimore.
And check out the Kramer and Jess Uncensored podcast at KramerandJess.com.